Hey, everybody. Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess. Just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May. And you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com. Then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in, do go on the quiz show, and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnocky and I'm joined by two people that join me often, nearly all the time. It is Matt Stewart and Jess Perkins.
We join him all the time. The three of us are joint, always.
All the time.
Oh, imagine if we were conjoined twins.
What but, do we?
Triplets.
Three of us, yeah, that's what I was going to Twins, but three.
How about the time you asked if identical twins were always identical?
We've had several people tweet in saying that there are instances where they are not. Most of them were medical anomalies.
Sure. Anyway, yes, we are conjoined triplets.
We are, Matthew. You're on my left hand. You're my left hand man. You are my left hand. I don't have a left side. He's waving with his left.
So I'm on the right. That's useless. I can't do anything with my right hand.
Yeah, that's annoying for you, isn't it? To be left-handed.
And I'm left. I'm
right-handed. We should swap. We should swap you and I.
That means I've got no hands because I'm in the middle.
Yeah.
But you do have torso. And head.
You're all torso.
I've got two nipples.
Wait, are we just arms to you then?
Yeah, we're your arms.
Yeah, my arms are nicknamed Jess and Matt.
Are we your wings?
You're my wingmen.
That's beautiful. Anyway, sorry that I started a weird tangent there. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Is it me you're looking for?
Yes.
Ah, hey, wow. What's up?
Finally answered that age-old question.
The answer was Jess.
Matt, drinking from a bit of... What's it called again, that fizzy thing?
Liquid.
Fuck you.
Soda water.
SodaStream. SodaStream.
No plugs, please.
Still don't know. Is there other brands of SodaStream?
No.
That's the brand. The brand. You don't understand it, do you? It's just...
No.
Okay.
It's just fizzy water with flavouring.
Yeah.
How is that popular?
That's better.
Yeah, I brought up the brand only to tear it down.
Mm, got him.
I'm going to bring down this show from the inside. Episode 67. Two off our favourite comedy number.
Yeah, we're waiting for it. It's going to be a big one.
We're waiting for that.
65.
That's right. We are two beyond our favourite number.
And it was so good.
We didn't do a shout out. We didn't realise at the time that we'd done 65. We can make up for it now.
Hey, I was on a podcast recently. This is a super delayed plug, but... it was really fun. And it was in this very bloody pod studio.
Are you talking about episode 66?
Yes.
Last week's.
It was. Really good,
Jack
right?
the Ripper.
Jack the Ripper was a bloody ripper.
A lot of fun. A lot of ripping.
People have said it was a ripper.
It was gross.
But I was also on a friend's podcast in here a few weeks ago, Two in the Think Tank. You should listen to it, Dave.
Just have a go. It's a lot of fun, that show. Two friends of ours, Andy and Al, pitch sketch ideas. And Matt, you're invited. Do you remember any of the titles of the sketches you were pitching?
No, I mean, it's a fast show. You're sitting there and they've already come up with stuff. It sort of just starts happening without you even realizing it. And
wow.
There's sketches in front. It's hard to keep up with those guys.
Is that what comedy's like?
Fast brains.
To witness comedy.
Yeah.
God, you don't get that here.
No, you certainly don't get it here.
No, no, no.
They were making stuff.
What?
Yeah. All we're doing is teaching stuff.
Yeah, we're
and learning
teachers.
Valuable life lessons
those
along the way.
Those who can't do, teach.
Mm-hmm.
And those who can't teach, teach Jim.
Thank you, School of Rock, yes. Jack Black. Great movie.
Who's Jim?
That would have been a good response. I would have brought Jack Black down. You shut that bastard down. Gym teachers, I'm with you.
Went through a real phase of watching that movie a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, recently? Like?
No, no, no. 10 years ago.
It's a TV show as well, right?
Is it? No, so. It's not.
Or maybe? Maybe it isn't.
I think you're wrong.
Okay, great.
Good try, Matt.
Yeah.
Maybe now, it is, I don't know.
Now, pipe down. For the rest of the episode, you're banned from talking. Dave, turn his microphone off.
All right, it's off.
Great.
Matt, try and talk.
Got him. Matt, we're just kidding, Matt. We didn't turn it off.
Right, your mic's back on, Matt.
Matt.
Fuck you. What? Oh, okay, thank you. Very good. Very funny stuff. You're a piece of shit. And you're a piece of shit.
Are you talking to the listener?
Yes.
Oh, good. Right, just want to make that clear.
I was going through them all one by one.
God, you keep going then, because there's so many.
There's more than three.
There's definitely more than three.
And you're a piece of shit.
That's all of them. There's four.
There's four of them.
There's four listeners.
It's only the third time I've said it, but
I remember Lena and Woodley started a...
They're listeners.
They're listeners. They're pieces of shit. They started some sort of set. I feel like it might have been at Carol's by Candlelight or Carol's in the Domain or something like that. This is many years ago.
Some sort of Carol's.
Can't picture anyone good being on those shows.
Some sort of light. Well, I don't remember what it was, but it was like an outdoor thing. Anyway, but they were just, I remember Lena going, hello, g'day, hi, hello, g'day, hello, 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 hi there. And he kept saying hi. And then he's like, sorry, I've just got to get through all of you. Hello, hello, g'day, hello. It was great. Very funny.
Do you reckon he committed?
100%.
Got everyone.
You must, Dave, you must. You must always commit.
Murder. If you're Jack the Ripper. But I'm hoping that this week is... We've had the last three episodes. I've been the only one to not do a murder topic.
Yeah.
So maybe we could steer away from murder this week. I don't know, because Jess, you're going to be doing the report this
and
week.
You know I love a murder.
You love a murder.
Are we doing another murder?
We're not doing another murder. Don't worry, boys.
Jess is going to bloody murder this.
Yeah, I'm going to murder this report.
In a good way.
I'm going to murder your brains.
In a good way.
In a good way. Like you're going to...
You're going to be brain dead. Yeah, in a good way.
In a good way.
You're going to need years of life support.
In a good way, yeah.
So this week, because we have... I don't know how you want to explain it, Dave, but we have the golden hat.
In a good way.
In a good way.
We do have the golden hat through, if people support us through Patreon, which keeps the show going, we appreciate that a lot. Mm. There's a certain tier of, if you pledge a certain amount per month, your suggestions for Matt's hat go into the golden hat, which is, I imagine,
Dave's hat.
A section of your hat, Matt.
It's just covered in gold.
I thought it was your hat, Dave.
I do wear a golden hat, and that could be confusing.
Because they're golden tonsils, is that why? Matt, is that what you were thinking? Matt?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
Just how I always pictured it.
It would have worked, though.
So these topics, if you pledge a certain amount, go into the golden hat, which means we must do the topic, as long as there's enough information on it. You can't just be like, do a thing on my dog, which would be fun. If you gave us enough information, we could do your dog. And then we could start the report. It's all research, Jess. It's all research. Matt and I have done some golden hat topics so far.
Mm-hmm.
Jess, you're yet to step up to the plate.
Well,
the golden plate.
The gold stepped up to the silver plate.
This is a golden plated episode.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
100% carat gold.
This is my first golden hat topic, and it was also not that we want to set the precedent that you can do this, but it was also specifically requested that I do this topic. I'm not entirely sure why, but it's for me to do.
Yeah,
not you, pesky boys.
Yeah, I don't know if that's in the rules, but you can definitely suggest it.
Yeah, we can't.
And is that a compliment to Jess or an offence to Matt and I? That's what I want to know.
I took it as an offence to Jess, going like,
Oh, sure.
Here's
a topic.
And I want to hear you talk about it because I don't like hearing you do reports. And I hate myself. That's how I read it.
Wow, okay. You read a lot into a sentence. That's strange. But okay, that's fine. So yeah, this topic has been suggested by our good friend and original listener from the get-go. Lovely.
All the way back from episode 65, that great episode we talked about earlier.
This is a topic suggested by Cecil Hopps, who's been there from day one.
And I believe he is a rabbit.
He's a rabbit.
He's a cartoon rabbit.
He's a cartoon rabbit.
For all intents and purposes. What is that?
So I'll start with a question, and you know my questions have been getting better and better recently. So
do we know that, Matt?
I was being facetious. They've been really bad.
We don't know that, Matt.
We do know that from like my last six reports, I think.
Do you reckon you're getting worse at questions?
Just the questions. I think my reports are fine.
Yeah, your reports are being. How about your hashtags?
I'm trying to remember if I know what Cecil suggested, because I reckon I might have seen this, but maybe your question will. Bloody ring trigger, some bells.
Trigger your memory.
Trigger some bells.
Trigger some bells. So I'll start with this question then. What is, and note that I'm looking at my notes, but I don't have a question written down. What is the most popular equestrian-based television series? I was thinking of Saddle Club.
The Melbourne Cup.
That's not
televised once a year.
It's not really a series, though, is it? It's sort of a
once
special
a year for
event.
100 years.
The Melbourne Cup Carnival.
That's not a series.
It's a mini series.
Horsing Around with Jeff.
BoJack Horseman.
Oh, my God. Actually, that's great. And it's animated. Yeah, okay. Good one, but no. It's an animated series aimed for children.
Horses and Whores.
No, not Dave.
Is that a real thing?
No. It's not. Neither is Horsing Around with Jeff. I'm just having a guess.
Horses and Whores, though.
Horsing Around is real.
No, Horsing's it's not. Horsing Around is the show that he's on in BoJack Horseman.
Right.
Wasn't that called Horsing Around?
I thought they made an episode of it. Maybe they didn't.
Oh, I think they made that a Christmas special.
Yeah.
I think they did. Oh, I don't know anymore.
What
I'm
about
sorry.
You Tell Us?
Yeah.
I know, because it's bloody this guy. It will be.
Come on.
I'm keeping my head saying Paddle Pops, but that's not right.
My Little Pony Club.
My Little Pony Club.
Just My Little Pony.
Is the club part of it? There's no club.
No. You think of Saddle Club.
Clubbing.
That Australian series from the late 90s, early 2000s.
No, I think about clubbing My Little Ponies.
Oh, God.
Going clubbing with My Little Ponies.
Do they like to go clubbing?
I reckon they would.
Okay, right. Well,
more than baby seals.
Cecil's actual suggestion is the Derpy Hooves controversy, which is just one part.
Oh, that very famous controversy.
That famous controversy that we all know about, obviously.
But do we even need to talk about it? It's so famous.
No, so, I mean, that's the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you tweet to us. It's one part of a story, but I thought I'd give you some background, if I may, if that's okay with you.
To be honest, I probably need a little background.
Do you reckon?
Matt's too old to know, but I know because I'm an expert on this topic.
Perfect time for Matt, actually.
Oh, is this like a 90s?
No, it's more like a 1740s kind of thing.
So. Oh, hang on.
Got him, he's old!
Yeah, you're an old man.
You're an old man.
You're Captain Cook's dad.
You're gross.
Oh.
You're gross.
Just seemed to think that all of a sudden the floor was open for truth.
Yeah, I thought...
That's not what was happening,
Dave,
Jess.
Didn't we say we were having that intervention with him today about
being
gross?
Yeah, I backed out.
Oh, Dave, you do this every time.
I know, I can't...
Matt, when are we having that intervention for Dave backing out all the time? Because we said we were going to do that this week.
I think we should do it this week.
No, back out like I would.
I'm not gross. I shampooed and conditioned today.
Your beard?
Both. My beard and my head.
Do you do them at the same time or do you go one and the other?
Oh, you must.
You must,
Oh,
Dave.
You must. At the same time.
Yeah.
He said that
recently. It's unconventional, but it gets the
job. Yeah, I thought I'd probably go one, then the other.
What do you mean you'd alternate?
No,
oh,
like
you mean like he's literally washing at the same?
Yeah, like rinse the hair
I do one, then the other.
All right.
Hair, then beard, please.
Please. He's not an animal.
Well, that's because of gravity.
Yeah, that's true. Good thinking.
Yeah. Bringing science to the podcast.
Sometimes you're very clever.
Thank you.
And other times you're real dumb.
Much like the identical twins controversy of the My Little Pony story.
Controversy. So, I will give you a little bit of background. So, My Little Pony is an entertainment franchise developed by Hasbro, which is marketed primarily to girls. The first toys...
Sorry, at children girls. Is that
children
correct?
Children girls. Yeah. Is that... Yeah, not ladies.
Right.
Girls, little girls. Now, the first toys were produced in 1981, and the ponies featured colourful bodies, manes, and a unique symbol on one or both sides of their flanks. In the more recent incarnations of the series, these are referred to as cutie marks.
Cutie marks.
So they've all got like different things on their butts. They're called cutie marks.
I don't think
marks.
I like that at all.
It's kind of like how Care Bears had different things on their tummies.
So they all have a tramp stamp.
They've all got tramp stamps.
I was going to say, they've changed the wording.
Yeah.
Cutie marks.
When I grew up, they were tramp stamps. What tramp stamp does your My Little Pony have?
Yeah.
Your My Little Pony? My Your Little Pony.
Mine's got a butterfly pooing on a dolphin. Beautiful. It's beautiful.
That's not a tramp stamp. That's a cutie mark.
Oh, sorry.
Do butterflies poo? Well, they must, but how?
Oh, you must.
To not poo is to not live. As Descartes once said.
Anyway, so yeah, they've all got cutie marks on their butts.
So it is on their butt. So you said flank, but that's a nice word for butt, is it?
It's like their back, but like their hip if a horse had
the
like a hip.
The horse's ass.
The horse's ass, but not right around the butt, like next to the tail, just slightly around to one side, like a hip, like where I'm pointing on my own body
right,
now.
Right, and what kind of marks are they got?
Like some will have like a rainbow, some have bubbles on them, some might have stars.
They're pretty much Care Bears, right?
They're like Care Bears.
Well, what were Care Bears? I don't know Care Bears.
Care Bears?
Like, I know what they are, but
like
I don't
bears
know.
Who had cutie marks on their flanks.
Tummies. They're on their
tramp
little
stamps on their guts.
Yeah.
They got a gut butt.
Gut butt.
A gut.
Gut stamps.
Gut stamp.
Guts is fun. Anyway, so now following the original My Pretty Pony toy, which was introduced in 1981, My Little Pony was launched in 83.
So what was the first one in 81?
My Pretty Pony, just a toy, just started as a toy.
But they were full size.
They did not sell well. It was very difficult to get them into your home.
Yeah, it's really
once size. Your kid grew out of it,
and also kind of inhumane to dye them different colours and tattoo their flanks.
Oh, they were also real ponies.
They were real ponies. Yeah, but they were glued.
Not only real size, but they were
real ponies. Just a pony.
Were they glued to a base?
Oh, obviously, so you could wheel them.
Yeah, you could wheel them around.
Yeah.
And their mouths were glued shut.
Aww.
I'm not enjoying this. But no, give us another pat. That sort of stuff.
Okay, love
check out my cutie.
Still love a pat.
Patootie.
Cutie patootie. So My Little Pony was launched in 83 and the line became really, really popular that decade.
Because they're smaller.
It was just a different range of toys.
Well, whereas one person used to buy one for a dollar, now they could, in that same amount of space, fit 100. And so they sold 100 times better.
Right, so they were originally selling a full-size horse for $1.
Yeah, it was very cheap.
Wow.
That is cheap.
They almost went out of business till they made that big change to make them little.
Suddenly, they're profiting like crazy.
Yeah.
They don't have to glue
them. How much were they charging now?
Still a dollar.
Wow, but yeah. For the little ones.
Yeah, they were making 100 times the profit.
Goodness gracious.
And they didn't have to, like, do weird
shit
gluing stuff.
They were making toys instead. That's interesting.
Mm. They initially tried to shrink down the,
actual
ponies, but...
Yeah, wow.
Science wouldn't allow it.
No, yeah, they had some real issues. They exploded them accidentally.
They killed a lot of ponies.
Oh, no.
They weren't shrink rays, they were guns. And it took them, like... hundreds of goes before they gave up on it.
Wow. Well, I mean, yeah, I can admire their persistence, I suppose, perseverance.
They killed a lot of ponies.
Yeah.
Got a lot of pony blood on their hooves. Okay. The people also had hooves.
Scientists, their first experiment was to put hooves on people's hands.
Yeah. It was a messed up time in the 80s, but you know, we got through it.
Hey, but suddenly there's little dollar ponies. Everyone's happy.
Everyone's okay. We forget about the hundreds of dead ponies.
And hundreds of men with hooves for hands.
And wasted bullets.
Clippity-clop.
Anyway. So the original toy line, the My Little Pony toys, they ran from about 83 to 95. 92 in the US, actually. They kind of got over it a bit earlier. It inspired animated specials, an animated feature-length film, and animated TV series. My Little Pony has actually been revamped at least four times with new and more modern looks to appeal to a new market. So they update what the the ponies look like.
They're like tramp stamps in 3D or something.
Yeah, they're kind of jazzing it up a bit. You know, like they're cool and more progressive.
How do you make a pony progressive?
I don't know, Dave. I'm pretending to care. I just don't. I think it's all very interesting. So, the most current series is the fourth generation. It's called My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic.
Fact. That is a fact.
That is beautiful. Fact. And that's very progressive because the original ponies weren't friends at all and they often murdered each other.
Yeah, clopped each other to death. Yeah. Clippity clop, clippity clop.
Do you know how long it takes to clop a pony to death?
How long?
6 hours. Exactly.
Yeah.
Every time. It's one of these weird things from nature.
They keep thinking they're going to get better at it, and they don't. Yeah. It's very frustrating.
At 5 hours 59, you think the horse is going to pull through. One more clop, that thing's gone.
Wow. That is sick.
Yeah.
Nah, it's kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Friendship is Magic.
Friendship is Magic, as we say on the podcast.
So, Friendship is Magic is an animated television series produced by Hasbro Studios, and the series premiered on October 10, 2010, on The Hub, which is an American television channel partly owned by Hasbro. So this version was created by Lauren Faust, who was a fan in her youth and invented her own adventure stories for the toys in place of the original show's stereotypical girly stories. Right, so like earlier generations were quite like girly, like, yeah, stereotypical girly stories, like that sentence just said.
Give us an example, Jeff.
I don't know.
What's a stereotypical, even if it's not from the canon?
So stereotypical.
Yeah, what's a stereotypical girly
probably
story?
Probably just like there'd be a bully, a mean pony picking on the nerdy pony,
mm-hmm.
And maybe the nerdy pony only has a couple of friends, but those friends kind of rally around her and help her overcome the bully. And then it turns out the bully's actually just kind of jealous because her parents are getting a divorce. So then the nerdy pony like takes pity on her and so invites her to a slumber party. And then she comes over to the slumber party. And originally she's like, ugh, I'm too cool for this slumber party. But then they actually start to have a little bit of fun and she finally lets her guard down. And she's like, guys, I'm sorry that I've been so mean to you. I'm hoping we can all be friends. And then they're all friends.
That is so girly.
Wow.
Yuck.
That was so girly, I like zoned out because I was like, if I listen to this, I'll become a girl.
They all get their periods. They all sync up and get their periods at the same time.
There it is. The girly element.
Yeah.
I will wager that that's much more entertaining than anything My Little Pony has ever done.
My story that I just
Your story. Way, way better.
Was your story Mean Girls? Mean Ponies?
Mean Ponies.
Mean Ponies.
Well, I guess in a way, yeah.
The fifth generation.
In a way, we all are, aren't we?
Aren't we?
Mean Girls.
In a way, aren't we all responsible for Mean Girls?
Mainly Liz Lemon, but...
Yeah. Do you mean
that's not a real name.
Tina Fey.
Tina Fey, fuck.
Mainly Liz Lemon. Anyway, so she had, like, in her youth, she'd sort of made up stories that weren't quite as stereotypical, and when she became responsible for this show, she endeavoured to design her own version of the franchise to address those concerns, like about it being too girly or too stereotypical. So her series is actually acclaimed for its sophisticated writing and nuanced characters.
Is that true?
That's true. Apparently it's... I mean, I've not seen it, but people are mad for it, and it's kind of... it's pretty interesting, so...
You didn't watch the Emmys that year, obviously?
Yeah, they sweeped the
clean
Emmys.
Sweep every single award.
It's just the nuanced
even the live
characters.
Action ones.
Nuanced characters
took it out.
They won it. They won
That's
it for best
about.
Nuanced character.
Best foreign film.
Yep.
Straight in.
They
there.
Also took the Oscars out as well.
Oh yeah, they presented the Oscars to themselves.
And
wow.
Also the Tonys. They won an EGOT.
They got the EGOT
in 1 year.
Yep.
Wow.
That's how good this is. That's how critically
never been done before or since.
Yeah, never will.
Clippity clop. Clippity clop was hot that year.
Clippity clop, motherfuckers.
Everyone was on the clippity clop. That was what in the end, they were so bored of doing acceptance speeches, they'd just be like, clippity clop, motherfuckers. Clippity clop, microphone drop. That's what they would do.
Well, and then they won, like, a...
They pronounced it microphone.
Yeah, microphone. They'd go back up, win another award, pick up the microphone again.
But they're not divas, they're very polite. So they do the mic drop and then they pick it up and put it back in its
place.
They
actually won a Grammy Award for that acceptance speech because that rap was so nuanced.
And cutting.
So nuanced and sophisticated.
And sophisticated.
Yeah.
For a show aimed at like 6-year-old girls.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
None of them are divas apart from, of course, Sparkly Diva. I bet you there's one called Diva Sparkles.
Would you like to hear? Would you like to hear their names?
Sure.
So,
there's a limit. I just assume there would be a million of them.
There's quite a few, but the show follows a studious unicorn pony named Twilight Sparkle, as her mentor, Princess Celestia, guides her to learn about friendship in the town of Ponyville. Twilight becomes close friends with five other ponies. Applejack, Rarity, Fluttershy, Rainbow Dash, and Pinkie Pie. I'm going to call you Pinkie Pie.
Pinkie Pie. All the other ones weren't as I was expecting to be, but Pinkie Pie is kind of what I was expecting.
They sound so nuanced.
Of those, I sort of feel
I just
like
love the sophistication in the name Pinkie Pie.
I feel like of those...
As adults, we can enjoy that.
You're definitely a Pinkie Pie, Dave. I think, Matt, you might be an Applejack.
Yeah, I'm an Applejack.
I think I'm probably Fluttershy or Rainbow Dash. What do you think?
Fluttershy.
Fluttershy.
I think you're...
And this woman won awards.
You're woman... Rainbow Dash for sure.
Rainbow Dash.
She won the EGOT, mate.
She won
Get
an EGOT
it.
For calling something Fluttershy. That is hands down the worst name for a little pony shit thing I could ever think of.
You have gone really hard really early and I love it.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But I think I thought that Riverdance was something I respected the least. I think we found a new low.
Wow. And again, it's my topic. So it's I'm so sorry. But at least I'm not passionate about
young
this.
Young girls to enjoy. It's a TV show.
I know, but we're talking about it on our podcast where we usually talk about like cool stuff.
Do we?
Cool stuff? Last week was Jack the Ripper.
That is pretty interesting cool. And sophisticated and nuanced.
He is so cool.
He is so cool. All right, so each of these friends represent a different facet of friendship. And Twilight discovers herself to be a key part of the magical artifacts known as the Elements of Harmony. Don't ask me any questions. I don't know.
Okay.
The ponies travel...
All I'm picking up is nuance.
The ponies travel on
Can
adventures...
Can I kill myself?
Yes. The ponies travel on adventures and help others around Equestria while working out problems that arise in their own friendships. Right? Now, Friendship is Magic has not only proven a major success in its intended demographics, like kids, very popular amongst children.
Really? Kids got into it.
Kids like something called Fluttershy.
Not only kids like it, but it also has an unexpectedly, it's gained significant following in different demographics, such as teens and adult males.
What?
The fandom adopted the name Brony or Bronies, which is a portmanteau of bro and pony.
Very sophisticated and nuanced.
Hasbrony.
Hasbrony. Oh my God, Matt. Very good. You know I love a portmanteau. And that is a three-part portmanteau. You got the port, you got the man, you got the toe.
I reckon Hasbro is a portmanteau as well. So it could be a quad.
Oh, it's so good.
Quadmanteau.
It's a quadmanteau.
That's a portmanteau.
Or what of quad and manto?
This is probably one of my favorite parts. So, though initially considered to propagate the humorous and ironic concept of people enjoying a show for young girls, the fandom has shown deeper appreciation of the show far beyond this and are considered part of a new sincerity trend. What the bloody hell is new sincerity, I
What's
hear
a new
you
sincerity?
Ask.
Oh, you actually have the answer, thank God.
Yes, I do.
Because I don't know.
I'll bloody tell you. I actually wrote down what the bloody hell is new sincerity, I hear you
is
ask.
Is it like
well,
post-ironic?
I'll bloody tell you. It's, yes, it really is. So, it generally describes creative works that expand upon and break away from concept of postmodernism, irony, and cynicism, representing a partial return to modernism. So basically, it's from my understanding, it means moving away from liking something ironically and actually just liking it.
That's so good.
So instead of being like, oh no, like, you're like, fuck, I love this.
Yeah.
Is it a weird sex thing?
No, I thought it was.
I've seen a bunch of like My Little Pony like sex things, and it makes me very uncomfortable.
I'm sure. I'm sure it may be.
Those, Dave?
Yeah, Dave.
Because there's bots on Twitter that follow you and stuff. You had those follow you?
No.
No, Dave.
I think those bots are normally. I think they follow one of them equation things.
Yeah.
You know the ones?
Yeah, the algorithms.
Algorithms. And they hone in on people who are into that sort of shit, whether they know
it or not. Who've recently Googled My Little Pony sex toys. That's
yep,
probably how
it is. I am.
Are you being a little Fluttershy right now, Dave?
Yeah.
I am. I'm being a little Pinkie Pie.
Is this a bit new sincerity? Are you hating it ironically, but you secretly love it?
I'm hating... I've got to think about that. Am I hating this ironically?
Yeah, because you know it's like the cool thing to hate it, so you're hating it, but you love it. Dave, is that the situation? Do you love it?
I'm going to say yes with a but.
Yes,
I don't know what that butt is, but we're going to find out.
And does that butt have a cutie mark?
Oh, yes, it does. It's a whale shitting on a dolphin.
It's always something shitting on a dolphin. Yep. You hate dolphins.
Oh, they must be pooed on. They must be stopped with poo.
Right, what? In the blowhole.
Oh.
Nah, so, dolphins are all right, aren't
yeah,
they?
I quite no, like
dolphins
it.
Are nice.
They're smart.
Dolphins are much nicer than little pony toys. Can I ask?
Mm-hmm.
Are these toys... So it's there's not a weird sex thing element to this.
I think there may be, but it's a very, very small group.
Are you thinking of fluffies?
No, but see, like...
No, furries.
Furries.
But I think there is, like, a tiny, tiny group of people that might incorporate part of My
there's
Little
a
Pony.
There's a tiny
but
group of people who incorporate group. Everything into sex.
Exactly.
Right?
I thought bronies like was Dave? A sex thing, but it's not.
Bronies is a
it's
sex
not.
Thing.
It's not. It's not.
It's not a sex thing.
No, it's just a fandom of My Little Pony.
Okay.
Friendship is magic. They're fans of friendship, Dave. Don't shoot them down.
I'm going to shoot them down.
I bet you are.
I'm going to shoot them down.
Right, so...
The sex thing isn't My Little Bronies. They're not bronies, they're bonies.
There we go. That took
my
way,
little bony.
Took way too long for you to get to that.
Friendship is magic with my little bony.
I was like, come on, buddy. We can do it. You did it. Made a boner joke. Yay.
I reckon I'm on a dry spell for boner jokes.
Your boner's on a dry spell?
I'm boner dry, yeah.
You boner dry.
Joke. Boner joke dry.
Ah. That's all right then. So the technology savvy fans, or the bronies, have created numerous works in writing, music, art, and videos based on the show.
Can you call it art?
Yes.
And they've established websites and fan conventions for the show. They've participated in charitable events around the show and those that create it. Like, they're super involved. There's conventions.
What are these charitable events?
I
that
don't
sounds
know.
Like
Dave,
the only
stop
thing,
asking me
that's
questions.
That's the only thing of worth I've heard.
Do you know, is Cecil the guy who put this in? He's a brony?
Might be.
Hmm. We should ask him.
Hey, Cecil, are you a brony? There you go. I asked him for you.
Or a bony.
Yeah, you a bony or a brony? Or a pony.
There's only two options.
Or a loney. So, the appreciation of the show by an older audience came as a surprise to Hasbro.
Were they like, who are these weirdos?
Well, maybe.
That was a tweet from the My Little Pony page. Who are you weirdos? Stop watching this show for seven-year-old girls.
We don't want your money.
We don't want... It's weird. We feel weird sending you the costumes. Whatever. It's weird. And no, it doesn't come in extra, extra large, okay?
Stop Brendan.
Stop tweeting, Brendan.
Was this maybe kind of like when, you know, mobile phones were meant to be for business people, but the biggest market ended up being like teenagers and everyone, basically.
And they're like, stop buying them. Stop it. It's for the sophisticated seven-year-old girl.
The nuanced
seven-year-old child.
It is funny when things have, like, the internet was meant for the army, right? They didn't really see it being it. Or even the computer wasn't meant to be. A lot of technology is designed for a niche market, and it explodes. Maybe we're all going to be My Little Bronies one day.
Maybe. No, I don't think that's quite... It's not technology. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Maybe it is. I don't know. You're telling the bloody story.
I am telling the story. Can I continue to tell the story?
Please do go on.
Thank you. So, yeah, it came as quite a surprise to the creators of the show, but they've embraced the older fans.
They embraced it. They hugged them because they thought, there's something
cash.
Wrong with you.
They thought cash.
But they stayed focused on the show's intended audience, which is obviously kids.
So they didn't just start writing, like, plots with, like, adult things going on.
That would have been weird. I mean,
well, that's
because the old guys got into it because of how it was already. So it'd be weird to change it for them.
They didn't change anything for them, but that's part of why, and I'll explain it in a sec as well, but it's like, that's why adults got into it, is because it was kind of written for adults as well. It's like you know, you watch, I went and saw Shrek with my parents when it came out, and my dad loved it because there's jokes in there for adults too. It's just like that. So that's sort of how this show's written, and that's why it has that.
Oh, so these people are taking their kids to watch My Little Pony. Is that how they got into it?
Well, apparently, and I talk about it soon, but...
sorry, Jess, there's many concepts we've brought up on this show, but this is the one I'm struggling the most to
understand. You are baffled.
You are flustered.
Your brow has been furrowed for the last 20
he's
minutes.
He's really flustered,
can't bring
he?
It down. I'm getting wrinkles.
I know,
from
buddy.
Furrowing.
I know.
Stop furrowing and start... What's the horseshoe guy's name?
Farrowing.
Farrowing.
Horseshoe guy.
Farrower.
Oh, are they called a farrower?
Yeah, someone who puts horseshoes on horses.
Do they don't make them? They just put them on? Or do they make them too?
Oh, I don't know.
They probably must make them. Yeah, they bang them out.
Is there just like a standard size? Or do they have to like...
They make them for the... Yeah, I've seen a video at some point and they put them in the hot thing. Yeah. It's just like a straight bit of metal or whatever.
They put nails in it, and then they bang it.
And then, yeah, they can. It's because you know the horse hoof is like one big toe.
Yeah.
And all the other toes are sort of inside it, like these weird little toes. But it's just one big toe nail, basically.
Okay.
So they don't feel the hoof
it's
itself.
It's not hurting them.
No, so, it's so like it's whatever this sort of stuff is. Keratin, maybe? Is that what that is? Or
I
is
feel
that
like
hair?
That would hurt. It probably wouldn't hurt if you put a nail through it.
But if it was big and thick.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's like it's not skin underneath it like it is for us.
Yeah, so I think they used to have like feet. And just over they evolved to have like just one big. I think that's what happened.
Oh. How did we get
question without
that?
Notice.
Anyway.
Not answer without question.
That was farrowing. I mean, harrowing. No, it wasn't at all. It was neither.
That was farrowing with Matt Stewart.
That's your side podcast.
Yeah.
Talk about the art of the horseshoe.
But don't know anything about it. I think that'd be the best.
Similar to just me day to day.
Similar to what we're doing with our podcast.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It was quite a surprise, but they obviously stayed focused on their child audience, which is their main audience, but they did sort of participate in the conventions that the fans put on, and they recognised the Brony fandom in official promotional material. They incorporated background characters popularised by fans into like in jokes within the show, so that's where Derpy Hooves comes in, and I'll talk about that a little bit more later. But it was kind of like a character that was nothing, and then because the fans reacted so strongly to it, now it's a character. Pretty interesting. Mm-hmm.
I wonder, you know how we were talking about in past episodes how important marketing and naming things is? Do you reckon if there wasn't a word like bronies that it would have even happened? Feels like the kind of thing where people thought, this is funny. But you're saying it, no one's getting into this thinking it's funny and ironic.
They're genuinely into it.
I genuinely like it.
They may start by like, I guess I'll watch it. But they love it. Like, they actually love it.
Like, when I started saying Ridgy Didge ironically, now I can't stop saying it.
Yeah. But do you love Ridgy Didge?
Ridgy Didge, I do.
You love it. You say it all the time.
Ridgy bloody Didge Didge.
Okay. It's similar. Yes, it's similar to that. Being a brony is similar to you saying Ridgy Didge.
I'm starting to understand.
Now I understand.
I'm starting to understand as well.
Do you get it? Do you get it based on
it's
Matt
like
saying
when
Ridgy
I
Didge?
Rewatch Dawson's Creek.
Uh-huh. How is that like that?
I don't know. I'm still confused. I just thought I'd have a stab. I thought I'd have a go.
Hey, that's Ridgy Didge to us. We love it when you have a go.
I thought I had it. I thought I got it, Matt. But I don't got it.
Is it like that time when I saw a repeat of a show?
Are these people aware that other shows are on?
Yes. Oh, something's happened where the part of their brain is shut down where they know that there are other channels.
Yeah, we're in the golden age of television.
Are we really?
That's what people say.
The golden age.
That's what people say.
There won't be another age more golden.
And this
golden.
Is because of Mad Men and that one with the guy, the Godfella.
Goodfellas. Godfather.
Sopranos.
The Goodfella.
The Goodfella.
Did you say Godfella? You did. I don't know what you said. Can I just do the report? Do you reckon? Or?
And the one with the guy and the gun and the bald head and the goatee.
Breaking Bad.
Dead Bed. Yeah, Breaking Bad.
Dead Bed. We got Dead Bed, Goodfella, Mad Men. Remember that one. And My Little Pony.
And also Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones.
No. Thrones.
No, I did not say that. He said Thrones.
But you know how like Hollywood actors now are appearing in TV
series?
Right,
they didn't used to do that.
It's cool to be in TV again now.
Like it's cool to be into bronies.
Mm-hmm.
Is it cool?
I think it's cool in that world. I still think, like, outside of that world, I reckon the majority of people are being surprised with every word Jess says today. Mm. I don't think anyone knows about this place, Bronytown.
Population one.
Well, it sounds like there's more than
there's
that.
There's heaps. There's thousands. They have conventions. Anyway, so as a result of these...
And we only have 100 Patreon subscribers. And these people get thousands.
Well, maybe they'll listen to this, so maybe you should be a little more respectful.
I love you all.
Do Bronon.
Do Bronon. Do Bronon.
As a result of the effort of the showmakers, you know, sort of responding to the wants and the popular things of the fans, My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic has become a major commercial success, with the series becoming the highest rated original production in the Hub's network broadcast history.
Great. How many people watch it?
I don't know, Dave. I don't know.
Billions.
Billions. So, is that true, Jess? Billions?
Billions of people watch
it. Am I uncool for not watching this?
100% you are, yes.
No, you're underground.
Yeah.
You're that cool guy who doesn't do what everyone else is doing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I don't go against the mainstream. I don't watch Goodfella. I don't watch My Little Pony Boy.
Do you want to hear how the Bronies kind of started?
Yes. Oh, is there a godfather of Bronies?
No.
Is it Tony Soprano?
Yeah.
It's Tony Soprano.
It's Brony. That made more sense. I said Tony Soprano.
So it's Brony Soprano.
Brony Soprano.
Brony Soprano. The god of all. I really shouldn't bag him out because, like, they take that guy pretty seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, as they would. They wouldn't exist if it wasn't for him.
So, here's how it started. Shortly after the initial broadcast in October 2010, a review was written on animation website Cartoon Brew by Amid Amidi. Now, Amidi's essay expressed concern that assigning a talent like Lauren Faust, to a toy-centric show was part of a trend towards a focus on profitable genres of animation, such as toy tie-ins, to deal with a fragmented viewing audience. It's wanky. And an overall admission of defeat for the entire TV movement. Anyway, basically...
Is this guy's writing about a cartoon?
Yeah, so basically what he's
aimed
saying...
Aimed at six-year-old girls.
Yes. What he's saying is that...
Thank you. I've heard enough.
What he's saying is that he was concerned that the fact that more and more shows seem to be driven by company executives who want to sell their products. That was his point.
Look Children's at any toast. Kids show from the 80s, toast. From the 90s.
I agree. Stop yelling at me. He-Man. I'm on your side.
Power Rangers.
Voltron. Rangers.
Ninja Turtles.
Captain Planet.
Transformers. It was just about selling Transformers.
They're robots in disguise, Dave. It's more than
Bumblebee's
VCR.
Nice.
It's not just toys.
That was the golden age. Before they started selling out and just wanting to sell toys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't sell a single Power Ranger in the 90s, and that's the way they liked it.
Yeah, that's what they wanted. They wanted to make no money from
their shows.
You
couldn't make money. It was a non-for-profit.
Yeah.
Non-for-profit organization. Now these bloody Hasbro have come along and they're like, oh, let's make a lot of money. How about we market this to 36-year-old men? Is that what happened?
Yes, Dave. That is what happened.
Well... I don't need to hear any more then.
Okay, well, we're done. Again,
you've made your
thank you so much
decision.
For listening.
Made my decision.
What do you? What is the verdict?
There's no question posed.
The decision is that Power Rangers should come back.
Okay.
Wow, there's a movie coming out, isn't it?
Are you going to play one of the Power Rangers?
I'm going to play Tommy, my favourite Green Ranger.
Green,
your favourite Green Ranger. How many Green Rangers? Because there was multiple ones.
There's one Green Ranger.
Okay.
I didn't meant to say my favourite Ranger who was green. I love you, Tommy. Tommy Green Ranger.
Is his name Green Ranger? That's convenient, isn't it? Does he have a cutie mark on his flank?
Yeah, it's a green stamp.
Cool.
The green whale shitting on a dolphin.
The dolphin is not green. He doesn't shit on anything that's green.
Yeah, oh, of course not.
God, no, never disrespect.
He's very eco-friendly.
He's very nuanced.
He's very subtle, even though his name is Green Ranger.
Anyway... So, Amid Amidi's written this essay criticising...
Great name, by the way.
That's the best thing about the guy.
Criticising the show. And though the show had been discussed on 4chan's cartoon forum before the essay's publication, the alarmist nature of the essay led to more interest in the show, resulting in a positive response for the series for its plot, characters and animation style.
So he bagged out the series. And
it
then
made it more popular.
But the weird thing is he's bagging it out because it's got such a talented writer.
Yeah, he's like, well, I guess, yeah.
But she's too good for this. She should be like on the Godfather.
You bring on somebody like this, and it's just so that you can sell toys. It's like, no, yeah. It's to make a good show but and sell toys.
But
and
yeah, that's the point. That's, everything is selling something. Every TV show is made to sell, you know, like the TV shows are on commercial TV. Basically, all of them are made to be watched.
Yeah.
And sell a product.
Is it possible that Amit Amidi works for Hasbro and knew that if he posted about it, it would make the show more popular?
I mean, that's just a brony conspiracy theory that you've got there, Dave. I think you're probably a little more invested than you are caring to admit.
I can bronesty.
Admitty.
I will not admit that I am Amit Amidi.
He's did it. Anyway. Yeah. So, yeah, it made it more popular. Now, the adult interest in the show is comparable to that of other shows like Tiny Toon Adventures, Rocko's Modern Life, Animaniacs, Dexter's Laboratory, Powerpuff Girls, SpongeBob.
Okay. I watched those shows when I was 8.
Yeah, I know, but there's shows that you can still watch. And you weren't 8. Like, I remember watching SpongeBob when I was, like, coming home from high school. It was on TV when I'd get home from school. You know, you're like, no, whatever, it's just a good show. Because older audiences appreciated jokes that were aimed at adult viewers and a sense of nostalgia for older cartoons and animated films. So it's like there's this cartoon that has adult jokes that I understand that are funny and, you know, it reminds you of being a kid watching cartoons. So hey, people enjoy it.
Dave, I recently watched the first season of the new Voltron.
Well, they redid Voltron.
Yeah. And is that... do you hate me?
Did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Well, that sounds like nostalgia.
So what's this
for a show
then?
That you watched in the 80s?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it was. I don't remember watching it. I just remember the toy.
Oh.
I always wanted to buy it. But I was a child, didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And neither did my parents.
No pocket money for you. Didn't do your chores.
Sons of bitches.
Anyway, so like, the other thing is that the show referenced works that older viewers would recognise, such as I Love Lucy, The Benny Hill Show, Big Lebowski, Avengers, Star Wars.
My Little Pony referenced The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, it makes references to things. There's something set in like a bowling alley, so they made a Big Lebowski joke. But, so they have like all these references that adults get, so they're like, yeah, I'm in on it. This is so interesting. So,
how about you just watch The Big Lebowski? That's got heaps of Big Lebowski references.
It's almost exclusively Big Lebowski references.
It's amazing.
Dr. Patrick Edwards, who performed several brony studies.
Okay, now, I thought the brony people were sad, but this guy is wasting his life.
He did these studies to survey, he's surveying them. He did these studies to...
He locked them in a chamber.
He did these studies to survey and analyse the fandom, and he observed that the brony fandom is unlike most other fandoms, which aren't welcoming to people who are different and promote the show's message of love and tolerance. So they're a really welcoming, really friendly, nice group. You're going to feel like such an ass when I talk about bronies because they're actually really lovely.
They sound amazing, Dave. Grow up.
They're super nice.
Grow up and become a brony like all real men do.
This is super interesting as well.
Can girls be bronies?
Absolutely they can. There's a different name for them as well, and it's super funny. Okay, so brony is a portmanteau of bro and pony, but it can be used for either. But
either bro
gender.
Pony or a pony who's a bro.
Pony bro. Another term is pegasister for the older female.
Pegasister sounds weird.
No, it's fine. Like, because they're Pegasus ponies.
Right. Sounds like you'd want someone to peg your sister. Pegasister over here. Like up on the washing line. Or peg also means throw something at.
Oh, yeah. Does it?
Peg. Peg it at me.
No, I don't think that's...
I reckon that's English okay. language.
Anyway. One contributor to the...
Dave, can you peg me that pen?
That's not a thing. Definitely not a thing.
I only do that to my sister.
It's weird because you do have a sister. You both have sisters. One contributor to the Brony study, Dr. Marsha Redden, said that the adult fans are, this is a quote, a reaction to the US having been engrossed in terrorism for the past 10 years.
What?
Yes, Dave, bronies are fixing terrorism.
In a manner similar to the Cold War... They are tired of being afraid, tired of angst and animosity, and the show and its fandom are outlets for those strifes. She compared the Brody fandom to that of the Bohemian and Beatniks after World War II.
Yes,
and of the
beatniks.
Hippies after the Vietnam War.
They're the hippies, Dave.
Oh, but they wrote literature. They don't just draw a picture of a pony.
What's the difference?
Hey?
You show me how that's different. Draw me a picture.
Draw me a picture.
Of a pony.
So let me just say, so what she's saying is terrorism caused bronies.
Yes, she's... you have Osama bin Laden to thank for bronies existing.
Well,
I think more accurately you could say that bronies fixed terrorism.
Well, I think terrorism still exists.
No,
they fixed it.
Oh, pardon me. Sorry, my mistake. I haven't checked the news in a while.
In a similar...
Don't you remember that famous photo of a brony putting its hoof down a guy's bazooka cannon?
Don't you remember that?
I don't remember that.
In a similar
it was on
kind
the cover of Time magazine.
Yeah.
Time Person of the Year was Pinkerty Pops.
One of the writers, Amy Keating Rogers, said in a similar sort of tone that she believes the fans have come to like Friendship is Magic due to so much cynicism and negativity out there in so many other shows, while this show has such a positive message. You know, people just want to be happy.
I love happy.
This is also great.
You hate it, Dave.
You hate happy. You hate anything that causes happiness.
That's not true.
It is.
Would you like bronies? My Little Ponies?
Do you, Dave?
Dave? Which is the only thing that
David?
Is able to give happiness in this modern world, apparently.
David?
Don't put me on the spot.
Dave, you either love bronies or you hate happiness.
Fuck.
What is it? What'll it be?
I just need more time. I need more of Jess's report. I'll come back to you at the end of the show. All
right, great.
With my opinion and whether or not I love happiness.
If you haven't been turned yet. I love happiness.
This is...
And the bronies invented it.
You're part of a cult, Matt. That is you. Jess has already been one of doing this report. You've already sucked in. I am staying strong and I am being...
neutral. Yeah, you're
Thank
being
you.
Neutral.
Join us, brony.
Join us.
Touch the hoof of destiny.
This I found very interesting. So two informal surveys of 2,300 and 9,000 participants, respectively, revealed that the average age of the adult fan, how old do we think they are?
Of the adult fan?
Six?
18. Or adult.
Adult.
So young. They'd be the youngest. I reckon 18, 19.
Yep.
Six.
You say six of the adult fans.
Oh, wait.
Six years old.
No, that doesn't make sense. If it's the average age of the adult fans, it can't be the lowest possible count. It has to be in the... Are you taking
Maybe.
All the children?
No kids. Adult fans.
All right. 24.
31. 21. Average fan
so
is 21.
Young.
Approximately 86% are male. 63% were currently pursuing a college degree or higher qualification. A later study in 2013 of over 21,000 respondents showed similar numbers and highlighted that the majority of fans were in the 15 to 30 age range.
15 to 30 age range. Sorry, I wasn't listening. I had to repeat it back to understand the words.
15 to 30 age range.
So 15 to 30 age range.
That means
range.
They're between the ages of 15 and 30.
Okay.
That's the range of age.
Okay, I think I've got this. It's like when I watched Dawson's Creek again.
Oh, boy.
That was my life.
Anyway, the average age is 19 and 20.
Is that the average age of the adults? That's
the adults,
yes. 15
that's,
to 30.
That's how the whole fucking sentence started with the adult age, the adult fans.
Because imagine if you made a show for kids and then the average age was 15 to 30. You'd be like, what are we doing?
What have we done wrong?
And then like bloody Goodfellas over here is being watched by four-year-old children. It's really backfired. The golden age of television is weird.
It's very topsy-turvy.
This is kind of interesting. So further, using the Myers-Briggs type indicator personality test, the survey revealed that the largest fraction of respondents, approximately 27%, fell into the INTJ classification. I know what you're thinking, and yes, I've got the information. So you know of the personality tests where you answer a series of questions and it sorts you into like one of, I think, 16 groups?
No, I do not know that.
Okay, it's a
should
Myers-Briggs
we
personality
do it?
Test. Yeah, I started to do it and it takes a while because there's a lot of questions and it was very late at night and I was doing this research and I was like, I should probably just do the research.
How long do you reckon it would take? Over an hour?
No, like 15 minutes.
Oh, we should all do it.
Yeah, we can do it. I wonder if we'd be similar. I've done it before too and I can't remember what I am.
What kind of questions are they? Just a couple?
Sort of like...
Do you play with children's toys?
Yes.
No, it's more like agree and disagree and then strongly agree. So it'd be like, you know, other people's feelings are more important than this or, yeah.
Right, so is one of the categories bastard?
Yes, you're a bastard.
They're all like four-letter categories, right? So you're either one of two things. So you're an I or a... What's I
No, INTJ.
For?
So these ones, INTJ is introversion, intuition, thinking and judgment. It's an abbreviation used for this particular personality type.
And this is about...
It's a psychological test.
Of the ponies.
Yes. So... The INTJ represents the mastermind. They're one of the rarest of the 16 psychological types and account for approximately 2 to 4% of the population. But a huge number of the bronies fall into this category.
Right. So if you're
That's kind of interesting.
If you're making a TV show, you don't want to target them. You want to target a bigger portion.
Well, yeah, quite
right?
probably.
Because you want more people watching.
But for some reason, a large number of these people have sort of are drawn to this show. Now, women of this personality type are especially rare, forming about 0.8% of the population. They're strong individualists who seek new angles or novel ways of looking at things. They enjoy coming to new understandings. They tend to be very insightful and very mentally quick. But it may not always be outwardly apparent to others since they keep a great deal to themselves. They're kind of more introverted. They're very determined people. They trust their visions of the possibilities, regardless of what others think. They may be considered the most independent of all the 16 personality types. Yeah, so I just found that kind of interesting that they, like, there's a high percentage of these people in the brony fandom.
That is fascinating. If it's only 2 to 4% of all the population.
But 27% of this group.
More than a quarter are them. That's
pretty cool. That's
interesting,
isn't it? Are they
some sort of geniuses?
No, they're not necessarily geniuses. They're smart. This brings me to the character of Derpy, which was Cecil's initial suggestion. So the production team have acknowledged that some of the fandom and fan-created elements of the show, they've acknowledged them and they incorporate them into the animation, sort of like as a bit of a wink-wink, a nod to their fans, which is kind of cool. Hasbro's priority is obviously just to deliver a show to the kids first, but if they can sneak in a little nod to the adults, then they're happy to do it, which I think is kind of cool. And one of the president and chief executive of the Hub Network said that they have kept their nods to the fandom to subtle hints. She said, "We haven't driven this movement, the fans have, and we don't want to get ahead of that. We want to nourish this phenomenon, not manipulate it." So instead of like trying to make things that they think the fandom will like, they'll just sort of let it happen organically and then they'll make little nods to that. Does that sort of make sense?
Yeah, yeah. They're not like being like, well, let's change the plot because,
exactly,
you know, now we have, you know, a 25-year-old watching, or keep
exactly
it for they, 6-year-olds.
They just keep it the same, and if something catches the eye of the brony fans, then they'll go with it. So the best example of this is in the first episode, a background Pegasus pony is shown in one scene with a cross-eyed stare, which was actually just a little joke by one of the animators. He'd drawn her a little bit cross-eyed. The 4chan...
It's a funny joke.
It's a funny joke.
Animator humour.
So the highest of all humours.
Too highbrow for me.
Quite quickly, like 4chan message boards dubbed the character Derpy Hooves based on the internet slang word derp. You know?
I've never heard that before.
You ever heard of derp?
Derp.
It's in a lot of memes. It's basically just like...
See, I don't really do memes.
Of course
I find
you don't. Like, you're 100 years old.
It's like you've done something silly.
A bit silly, like derp.
Derp, sorry.
Right? But, oh, derp. So
you're such a normie, Dave.
No, I don't really do animated humour, which I assume is similar to
so the,
these so-called memes.
The fans sort of created a more detailed personality for this character. They named her Derpy Hooves. She was like on screen for seconds, but they just all suddenly just loved her. And apparently like the production team sort of responded to this and they kept the Derpy character with the cross-eyed look. And she sort of became a mascot of the fandom, according to... the supervising director, Jason Thiessen, the team sort of considered the character like a little Easter egg for people to catch. Like they'd kind of almost hide her in...
Oh, there she is.
Backgrounds of episodes. Yeah, exactly.
Guys, you see Derpy? Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
She's in that mountain in the background.
I don't feel lonely anymore.
At the end of the first season, one of the show's animators confirmed that Derpy would be a scripted background character in the second season, so she's going to be coming...
So she's like a recurring extra.
Exactly, basically.
Does she have lines?
She gets them. So in the original broadcast, about mid-season of season 2, the show was called The Last Roundup. Derpy was called out by name by Rainbow Dash and given lines and klutzy mannerisms as a direct call out to the brony fandom. So, like, they've named her Derp, so they've made her a little bit derpy. Like, she's klutzy and she's whoops, right? But she's whoops. Oh, boy.
Do they call her Whoopsie Hooves? That's a no. much cooler name, by
Whoopsie
the way.
Hooves Whoopsie great.
Hooves is cute. Though most of the fans appreciated the inclusion of this character, some viewers had a negative response to the character, believing it insulted the mentally handicapped. It's because, like, they were calling it, she was a little bit klutzy, and the voice that they'd given her was not great, if that's sort of what you were picking up on it. So it wasn't good. And so Hasbro subsequently modified the scenes, and while Derpy's still present in the broadcast and in the show, she's not named, and a different voice is used, like in later episodes. So they don't officially call her Derpy. She has other names, like Ditzy or Ditzy Doo and Muffins. Three different names.
Why does she have three names?
I don't know.
And so you can't, like, buy a toy of her or something?
No, you can, but it wouldn't be called Derpy. I don't think so.
It would be called Whoopsie.
No.
It'd be called Ditzy Doo or Whoopsie.
Whoopsie Daisy. But see, they do...
Whoopsie Muffin.
I think it's one of those things where they do call her Derpy, but, like, Hasbro's kind of like, no, we didn't name her that. I don't know. It seems like it was a little bit of a mess. But there's been other non-speaking background characters that have caught the attention of the fandom and have also had expanded roles because of it.
One of them had a really big boner. It got attention.
It did, yeah.
Boner boy hooves.
Not a good attention. There's a female unicorn pony character who has neon colours, wears sunglasses and has a DJ mixer that briefly appeared in one episode.
Oh, she sounds like me if I was in pony form.
Yeah, totally. And the fans named her...
Wiki Wiki Wow!
The DJ, the fans named her DJ Pone 3. Like pony, but with a 3. And then the fans of the show nicknamed a male character with a brown coat, messy brown mane, and an hourglass cutie mark. He had an hourglass on his butt. They named him Dr. Hooves. Because he looked like Dr. Who.
How did he look like Doctor Who with an hourglass?
Because he was wearing a brown coat and he had messy brown hair and he looked like David Tennant.
But he was a pony.
He's a pony.
That looked like David Tennant.
Whose side are you on?
I'm not sure anymore.
You were being good cop.
Yeah, Matt, we've really swapped roles here because I am so on board with this.
I love
Doctor Hooves. I live for him.
I would really
Doctor Hooves sounds cool.
I would really like a tattoo of Doctor Hooves shitting on a dolphin.
All of your tattoos have something shitting on a dolphin. It's weird.
Fucking dolphins.
I'd like to finish with some fun facts, if I may.
Yes, please.
We haven't had fun. I thought you'd be more excited. We haven't had fun facts in ages.
Yes, please.
I'm excited.
You excited?
I'm so excited.
Okay. So, on December 26th in 2011, an article appeared in the New York Times. It was called Navigating Love and Autism. It was by a journalist called Amy Harmon and described how a young woman with Asperger's syndrome used My Little Pony characters to relieve stress. So she visualized the character Twilight Sparkle whenever she found herself in a bad mood. So the story was sort of about that, but the fun fact is that the story misidentified Twilight Sparkle as Fluttershy on initial publication, and the paper issued a correction, which some journalists have jokingly considered the best New York Times correction ever. And they're like, we sincerely apologise that we
so they
misidentified
have... the See, role. That was going to be a beautiful story, and then the behind the scenes is that people emailed or tweeted the paper saying they had the wrong character.
You said Fluttershy when I think you mean Twilight Sparkle?
That's just ruined a good story.
It's pretty funny, though. There's a couple of famous fans, by the way.
Cecil.
Is it David Tennant?
Cecil, obviously.
David Tennant.
Ricky Gervais.
Oh, he's definitely into kid stuff.
There's a Broadway actress and singer, Lena Hall, and she stated that she watched the show as it makes her feel super happy and appreciates the lessons the show teaches. She considers herself a Pegasister. She won the 2014 Tony Award for Best Actress in a Musical, and she ended her acceptance speech mentioning the show's subtitle, Friendship is Magic. And over 4 months after her shout-out at the Tonys, she announced on her Twitter that she would be a guest star on the show's fifth season.
Wait, this show's being made now?
It's still going.
What?
Dreams come true, you guys.
Where would you see it?
I don't know, the internet? My favourite, though, my favourite celebrity fan.
Oprah.
Better.
Is it
better.
Someone we've heard of?
Yes.
Obama.
I haven't heard of that last person. She did sound great, though.
Yeah.
Big, so it's a really big one that you like. Australian?
No, not necessarily. It's just funny.
Is it Obama?
Stop guessing. Can I just tell you?
Matt, have one guess. That'd be fair.
Give me a country.
America.
Give me a gender.
Male.
Give me an age group.
Good question. 50s?
All right, I've got
Give
mine.
Give me first name.
Billy.
Give me the second name initial.
B. Billy. BT.
Billy BT. No. Who is it?
Billy Bob Thornton.
Billy Bob.
Billy Bob Thornton admitted to watching the show during an interview.
You said it was a celebrity.
With GQ. He and his daughter Bella used to watch My Little Pony, which she eventually grew out of. And when she was searching for a series to watch again, they came across Friendship is Magic and they started watching it together. He also liked the show's positive message about how the world works. He also claimed that while his daughter's favourite character is Twilight Sparkle, his favourites were Fluttershy, who he said was his favourite because she talks like Marilyn Monroe, and Rainbow Dash. He's a Rainbow Dash fan, but his daughter really likes Twilight Sparkle. So.
I like that, but it feels like he's not a brony. He's the dad of a fan of the show.
But he is also a fan of the show. Don't shit all over it.
Can I ask you?
No, sorry, I'm not saying that against you. I'm saying that's a different thing. To a 22-year-old who's got no...
But I didn't say famous bronies. I said famous fans of the show.
Right. Okay. So you wouldn't say he's a brony.
I wouldn't say he's a brony.
Yeah, right.
You wouldn't say he's a Billy Bob brony.
He's not a Billy Bob brony. A brony Bob Thornton.
Having looked at the characters, do you know who your favourite is,
Josh? I have not looked at them properly. I don't know. Let's say Rainbow Dash.
I reckon Twilight Sparkle might be like the big one. She might be like the big famous one.
Yeah. Yeah. Twilight Sparkle's the main
I've
character.
I reckon I've heard of Twilight Sparkle.
You? Probably Fluttershy or Pinkie Pie, right?
Pinkie Pie. I couldn't remember the name.
Obviously.
I'm Applejack.
Applejack.
Well, Jess, thank you very much for that topic.
Thank you, Cecil, for suggesting it.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Jess, for doing it. I've always, because I've heard of bronies, someone told me about them last year.
Yeah.
We were in a show that talked about them. Were you in that scene?
What show? Oh. No, I wasn't in that scene, but I know I'm assuming you're talking about the show that we were both in.
Yeah.
That Dave was also in?
That Dave was also in, yeah.
Under the Milky Way?
Under the Milky Way, yeah. Did that have a brony reference?
That's a television show we were all in.
Yeah, there was Sam Peterson.
Oh, yes.
He was a brony in the show.
I might have been in that episode.
Was Sam a brony?
Yeah.
God, I love Sam, one of my favourite people on the planet.
We were all in that show. Never shared a scene, though.
Never shared a scene.
Oh, Matt and I did.
Yeah, we did.
I never shared a scene with
either. Oh, we shared a couple, actually.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
How'd we go?
Yeah, great.
I asked to not share a scene with you.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because you both of you are...
You're probably one of my favourite characters on that, actually.
Thank you. But both of you,
funny.
Both of you are famously scene stealers, and I would not have that on my watch.
No. I did share scenes with Matt, and he destroyed them, as in, like, in a good way. He stole
nice
it.
Nice one, Matty.
Stole it, murdered it.
Well, I don't think Dave was joking. We definitely are scene stealers.
I'm saying...
Fuck, your character's very funny.
I'm saying you stole it. Stop, let's just stop
circle-jerking
here.
I think we should...
And just thanks.
Yeah, my arms are getting tired.
Well, so it's called Under the Milky Way. Maybe we'll share some scenes from it. That'd be cool.
Sure, yeah, that'd be nice.
We'll tweet out some action.
There's one bit where I yell budgie smugglers out of context.
Look forward to that.
Mm.
That is sizzle.
But I will be honest and say that I thought the bronies was a sex thing.
Yeah, and I'm sure...
I really thought it was as well.
So maybe that's why I was a little bit negative.
I'm sure in some cases it probably is, but I don't think it's not always.
It does. It sounds like it's a really positive...
Yeah,
but
like...
But yeah, I feel like...
They sound quite nice.
You just... That feels like you gave that the puff piece... Puff piece treatment. Were you a bit gentle on Cecil's... Because I think it's a big Cecil thing. I think he's quite into it. I think he might be a brony man himself.
Just fine.
I'm not saying it's not fine, Jess. Just saying, did you go soft on bronies?
No, not at all. I genuinely was researching and I was like, these people sound kind of cool. I'm not going to shit all over people who are doing things that aren't hurting anybody and are making them happy. Fuck, what a monster.
That's my job.
Yeah.
All right. I'll accept your apology.
Well, before we wrap up the show, we have to say a big thank you to all our Patreon supporters who brought the show this week, as they always do, keep it running. And if you want to get involved, it's patreon.com/dogoonpod. You can get extra rewards, including an extra episode. You can vote for Matt's topic. You can go into the golden hat like Cecil did, and we can report on your topic. And of course, we give you a shout out at the end of the show as to say thank you. And we're going to say thank you to one person each. Now, I would like to say a big thank you to a person, been a long-time supporter.
He does that every time. It's so good.
He's been a long-time listener.
I couldn't wait for him to do it.
He loves the long episodes.
Oh, boy.
And he loves Me, the long man, Warnocky.
Yuck.
I'd like to say thank you to Stephen Long.
That was a real stretch. you see what he's doing there? Very good.
I'm just looking at his name because it's like a small L long. Maybe it's Stephen Eong, capital I.
I think it's probably Long.
Could be Stephen Eong.
Well, if it's Stephen Eong, go on, make your silly jokes again, you dumb fuck.
Well, he's been an Eong listener, an Eong supporter, and loves the Eong man Warnocky.
Eong man, interesting.
It's Stephen Eong.
Oh, very good.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Stephen Eong.
Good.
I'd also like to thank a friend of ours who kind of, he auditioned for a role as a Batman villain.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Wow, this is interesting.
Yeah, he did, but they went for somebody with a slightly different name because you actually have to, like when you're a Batman villain, it's your real name, right? So you have to have a Batman villain type name.
Right.
So I would really like to thank, even though he failed at that one job he went for, I'd really like to thank Robert Riddell, like the Riddler.
Oh, the Riddle, man.
It's so good when you have to explain a joke.
Robert Riddell.
I'm trying to be cool like Dave, but I can't do it. I should just say thanks to people.
Robert Riddell sounds like he could win an Academy Award. The Academy Award goes to Robert Riddell for the My Little Pony movie.
Has there been one?
They've swept the awards ceremonies again.
Mm. Oh, funnily, I was away on holidays recently. You know, over New Year's when I had the bug in my ear?
Yes.
The place I stayed at, it was like an Airbnb, so it was someone's place with the DVD collection. Mm. In that DVD collection, My Little... No, it wasn't a DVD, it was a board game. It was like, it was the, you know, Trouble, that Pop-O-Matic game?
Yeah.
It was the My Little Pony version.
Wow, that was a fun story.
I enjoy that. I also used to play the game Trouble.
Oh, dang it.
In primary school.
So, suck it. Fuckhead.
That's right, Jess. Two out of three of us enjoyed that story. Assuming Matt enjoyed his own story.
No, bloody hell, that was tedious.
One third of the show enjoyed that, Matt.
Hey, thank you.
But it was the good third. The third that matters the most.
No one cares.
Hey, you know who I'd like to thank? Really great person and also human being.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, good friend.
Sure.
And human.
Great.
But also a person.
Oh my God.
His name, it's hard to tell because of obviously that capital L, small L, capital I thing.
Oh, no.
But I'm going to have a stab and say, thank you so much, Lan Astolosh.
Lan.
Now, Ian Astolosh, he's been with us for quite a while. What a bloody legend.
Yeah, thanks
so much,
Ian.
He's always on us on the internets. And I think we might have done one of his topics.
Yeah, it rings a bell.
Because he's a fucking legend.
As always, though, you can get in contact with us on Facebook, Twitters, Instagram, at DoGoOnPod on all of those, at DoGoOnPod@gmail.com. How else? That's probably it.
That's about it. Drop us a line, send us a message or a massage
and
voucher.
Patreon.
Patreon.com.
You can also get onto Patreon if you want to fling us a few bucks. That would be great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that is the end of another week, another topic. I'll be back next week. I believe it's my turn to do a report. But until then, we will say be good and goodbye.
Bye.
Laters.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.